السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Truthful Connection, coming to you exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'a, the voice of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'a in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we finished our segment on Palestine. We are now going to be joined by our brother Abu Bakr Sidat for the program Biladul Muslimin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Abu Bakr Sidat.
Kato Mulana to you and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We trust that you and the listeners are all well on this beautiful Sunday morning. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Jazallah anna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima wa lo. Rabbi shrali sadri wa sirli amri wa lulukkutam milisani of kawkawli. Mulana, this morning, alhamdulillah, through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue our program on Bilad al-Muslimin regarding the country called Afghanistan. Over the past several weeks, we have discussed its history, the people living there, and its occupation for the last 40 years by the Soviet Union initially, and then the Americans. And now we are coming to the end. This may be the penultimate program for on Afghanistan, where the withdrawal of the American troops from Afghanistan in 2021 brought an end to the occupation. But before we go there, Maulana, I just want to discuss a few things I think we have heard in the news bulletin also. In fact, the State Secretary of the United States of America, Antony Blinken, has said that there is a ceasefire in the offing. And this we have heard over the last 9 months, where the Americans vetoed three times in the United Nations Security Council the call for a ceasefire. But this time they say that they are only 10 yards away from a ceasefire. Inshallah, we pray that this carnage that is carried out in Gaza and in the West Bank comes to an end as soon as possible, so that some relief can come to the people of Palestine. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
And now with the ceasefire, there is a very concerning situation that has arisen, that the Israelis with the United States and Britain are proposing to establish a stabilizing force in Gaza. And out of all, Maulana, what has happened is the UAE is the first country to say that they are prepared to send troops to take occupation of Gaza. And this is a ploy to just sideline Hamas completely, that they would not be in charge of what the future political scenario would be in Palestine. We know that the Muslim Brotherhood, the Ikhwan al-Muslimin, is banned in Saudi Arabia, in most of the Arab countries. And that was one of the reasons why Sisi was brought into power, to eliminate Sheikh Mohammed Mursi, rahmatullah alayhi also. Now this is of big concern, I think, to the Muslim Ummah, that once the stabilizing force comes in there, the decisions to take, to control the Palestinian territories will be handed to those sellout Muslim countries that will have their forces taking control of the Palestinian people, with the Palestinians being eliminated completely, or people like Abu Mazen put into power to take control of Palestine. Another thing, Maulana, very interesting, though I think we should not put our hopes up very high, is the decision of the ICJ, the International Criminal Court of Justice, regarding the opinion that it has rendered regarding the occupation and the annexation of Palestinian territory by the Zionist Israeli state, what it has given as an opinion is that the whole occupation is illegal. The settlers, 600,000 of them that are occupying territory in the West Bank, are also illegal and they have to be removed immediately. But whether the Western world, especially the United States and the United Kingdom and their cohorts, will ever take a decision and abide by this system that was established after World War II, after the two world wars, by these superpowers, whether they will adhere to the call by the ICJ for the dismantling of the state of Israel, especially in the occupied Palestinian territories after 1967. And, Maulana, what is of great concern is what is taking place in Bangladesh. We heard in the news some 140 people have been killed already. And this is the protest by the students of the university for which is against the government decision that is barring more than 30% of the vacancies in the civil service reserved for those who had participated in the independence of Bangladesh in 1971. This is 50 years ago, and they still have this quota system that they want to revive, that only those people and their grandchildren, their children, can be given this 30% of the jobs that are created in the civil service. And I think this there's some 400,000 graduates in Bangladesh who have got no chance of getting into the civil service whatsoever. And this is the cause of the riots. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make it easy. And we know that India is, Bangladesh is enamored to India, and this is the destabilization of the Muslim countries, 170 million people under the banner of and the patron of India. And finally, Maulana, is the decision taken by FIFA regarding the status of Israel in FIFA. The decision was to be taken on Saturday, but it has been postponed to after the Paris Olympic Games. I think they did not want to disrupt the participation of the Israelis and the Zionist state in the Olympic Games, which would have been one of the consequences. Coming to our story regarding Afghanistan, now coming towards the end of it, and in January 2018, the Taliban were openly active in 70% of the country, being in full control of 14 districts and have an active and open physical presence in a further 263. So this 70% that was under the control of the Taliban gave a message to the United States, and I think this was the strategy of the Taliban, that the more they are in control of districts, then the pressure would be on the United States to recognize the Taliban is one of the potent participants in the future of Afghanistan. Following recent attacks by the Taliban, including Kabul and the Islamic State that killed scores of civilians, President Trump and Afghan officials decided to rule out any talks with the Taliban. However, in February, following an increase in violence, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani proposed unconditional peace talks with the Taliban, offering them recognition as a legal political party and the release of the Taliban prisoners. The offer was the most favorable to the Taliban since the war started. It was preceded by months of national consensus building, which found that Afghans overwhelmingly supported a negotiated end to the war. 2 days earlier, the Taliban had called for talks with the U.S., on 27 March, a conference of 20 countries in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, thanked the Afghan government's peace offer. The Taliban did not publicly respond to the offer. Following Ghani's offer of unconditional peace talks with the Taliban, a growing peace movement arose in Afghanistan during 2018, particularly following a peace march, the People's Peace Movement, which the Afghan media dubbed the Helmand Peace Convoy. The marchers walked several hundred kilometers from Lashkar Gah in Helmand province through Taliban-held territory to Kabul. There they met Ghani and held a sit-in protest outside the United Nations assistance mission in Afghanistan and nearby embassies. Their efforts inspired further movements in other parts of Afghanistan. Following the march, Ghani and the Taliban agreed a mutual, unprecedented ceasefire during the Eid al-Fitr celebrations in June. During the ceasefire, Taliban members flocked into Kabul, where they met and communicated with locals and state security forces, creating a mood of both hope and fear. Many civilians welcomed the Taliban and spoke about peace. Although civilians called for the ceasefire to be made permanent, the Taliban rejected an extension and resumed fighting after the ceasefire ended on the 18th of June, while the Afghan government ceasefire ended a week later. American officials had secretly met members of the Taliban's political commission in Qatar in 2018. In September, Trump appointed Zalmay Khalilzad. I think our listeners would remember Zalmay Khalilzad. He's the husband of Behran, who wrote that book, Civil Political Islam, which we discussed at the beginning of this program. He was appointed a special advisor on Afghanistan in the United States Department, with the stated goal of facilitating an intra-Afghan political peace process. Khalilzad led further talks between the United States and the Taliban in Qatar in October. Russia hosted a separate peace talk in November between the Taliban and officials of the Afghan government. In July 2018, the Taliban carried out the Darzab offensive. They captured Darzab district following the surrender of ISIL Khorasan to Afghan. It is very interesting to note at this stage, Maulana, that the United States of America and the Western powers, what they did was during the negotiations with the Taliban, they brought in the ISIL, that is the Islamic State in the Levant and in Iraq also, and named it ISIL Khorasan, ISIL-K, the Islamic State in the Levant and the Khorasan branch, to destabilize the Afghan government and the Taliban. And this was a third factor that was computed into the war faction that was taking place in Afghanistan. In August, the Taliban launched a series of offensives, the largest being the Ghazni offensive. During the Ghazni offensive, the Taliban seized Ghazni, Afghan's sixth largest city, for several days, but eventually they retreated. This was the method of guerrilla warfare that the Taliban was implementing in their quest to take over the country. On January 2019, Ghani, that is the president, said that more than 45,000 members of the Afghan security forces had been killed since he became president in 2014. He also said that there had been fewer than 72 international casualties during the same period. A 2019 report by the United States government estimated that 53.8% of Afghanistan's districts were controlled or influenced by the government. with 33.9% contested and 12.3% under insurgent control or influence. This was a very misleading report where the Afghan government was given control of more than 50% of the country, whereas earlier, as we said, Taliban was in charge of more than 70% of the country already in 2018. Afghan government, in 2019, Afghan government forces undertook clearing operations directed against both the ISIS Khorasan and the Taliban in eastern Nangarhar province. After the two groups fought for over a week over a group of villages in an area of illegal talc mining, the National Directorate of Security claimed 22 ISIS fighters were killed and two weapon caches destroyed, while the Taliban claimed Afghan forces killed 7 civilians. On the 28th of July, Ghani's running mate Amrullah Saleh's office was attacked by a suicide bomber and a few militants. At least 20 people were killed and 50 injured. Saleh was among those injured. By August, the Taliban controlled more territory than at any point since 2001. Attempted peace negotiations between the U.S. and the Taliban failed also. On the 25th of February 2019, peace talks began between the Taliban and the United States in Qatar, where the Taliban co-founder Abdul Ghani Baradar notably present. Peace negotiations had resumed in December. This round of talks resulted in a 7-day partial ceasefire, which began on the 22nd of February 2020. On the 29th of February 2020, the United States and the Taliban signed a conditional peace deal in Doha, Qatar, that called for a prisoner exchange within 10 days and was supposed to lead to U.S. troops withdrawal from Afghanistan within 14 months. However, the Afghan government was not a party to the deal. And in a press conference the next day, President Ghani criticized the deal for being signed behind closed doors. He said the Afghan government had made no commitment to free 5,000 Taliban prisoners and that such an action is not the United States authority, but it is the authority of the government of Afghanistan. We know that Ghani was a puppet of the United States of America. After signing the agreement with the United States, the Taliban resumed offensive operations against the Afghan army and the police, conducting attacks in Kunduz and Helmand province. The United States retaliated by launching airstrikes against the Taliban, in which more than 900 Afghan security forces were killed in the period, up from about 520 in the same period. On the diplomatic front, on the 31st of March 2020, a 3-person Taliban delegation arrived in Kabul to discuss the release of prisoners, the first Taliban representatives to visit Kabul since 2001. The Taliban departed from the prisoner swap talks, which Taliban spokesman Suhail Shaheen said were unsuccessful. Shaheen also stated in a tweet that hours after walking out of the talks, the Taliban's negotiating team was recalled from Kabul. The Taliban failed to secure the release of any of the 15 commanders they sought to be released. Arguments over which prisoners to swap resulted in a delay of the planned prisoner swap. After a long delay due to disputes regarding prisoners' release, the Afghan government had by August released more than 5,100 prisoners, and the Taliban had released only 1,000. However, the Afghan government refused to release 400 prisoners from the list of those the Taliban wanted to be released because those 400 were accused of serious crimes. And Afghan President Ghani tried to use these 400 names, as these were commanders of the Taliban, try to use this as a lever, some leverage, for him to gain credibility in the to participate in the peace talks that were carrying on. Afghanistan reported in June its bloodiest week in 19 years, during which 291 members of the Afghan National Defense and Security Forces were killed, and 550 others were wounded in 422 attacks carried out by the Taliban. The Taliban insurgency intensified considerably in 2021, coinciding with the withdrawal of the United States and allied troops from Afghanistan. Since the U.S. withdrawal, the number of casualties of women in Afghanistan conflict rose by almost 40% in 2021 alone. On March 6, Afghanistan's president expressed that his government would be taking forward peace talks with the Taliban, discussing with the insurgent group about holding fresh elections and forming a government in a democratic manner. On April 13, the Biden administration announced that it would withdraw its remaining 2,500 troops from Afghanistan within a few weeks. The Taliban made significant territorial gains in the period in the countryside, increasing the number of control districts in its control from 73 to 223. On July 5th, this is recent history, Maulana, the Taliban announced their intention to present a written peace plan to the Afghan government. But as of August 13, this was not done. Sources claim that on August 12, Abdullah Abdullah, chairman of the High Council for National Reconciliation, handed in the plan titled Exiting the Crisis, which was shared with the Taliban. It called for the creation of a joint government, like we have here in South Africa, the National Government of Unity, NGU. On August 15, following the Taliban offensive and the fall of the capital, Kabul, the Taliban occupied the presidential palace after the incumbent Ashraf Ghani fled the country with about $160 million in a helicopter to Tajikistan. NATO forces maintained a presence in Kabul. The Taliban gained control of various towns throughout June and July. On the 6th of August, they captured the first provincial capital of Zaranj. Over the next 10 days, they swept across the country, capturing capital after capital. On August 14, Mazar-e-Sharif was captured. Its commanders, Rashid Dostum and Atta Noor, fled across the border to Afghanistan. On August 15, Jalalabad fell, cutting the only remaining international route through the Khyber Pass. By noon, Taliban forces advanced from Pagman district, reaching the gates of Kabul. Ghani discussed the city's protection with security ministers. We know he had fled already, while sources claim a unity peace agreement with the Taliban was imminent. However, Ghani was unable to reach top officials in the interior and defense ministries, and several high-profile politicians had already hurried to the airport to quit Afghanistan. By 2 p.m., the Taliban had entered the city facing no resistance. The president soon fled, as we said earlier, by helicopter from the presidential palace. And within hours, Taliban fighters were pictured sitting at Ghani's desk in the palace. With the virtual collapse of the republic, the war was declared over by the Taliban on the same day. As the Taliban seized control, the need to evacuate populations vulnerable to the Taliban, including the interpreters and assistants who had worked with the coalition forces, ethnic minorities and women, became urgent. For more than 2 weeks, the international diplomatic, military and civilian staff, as well as Afghan civilians, were airlifted out of the country from Hamid Karzai International Airport. On the 16th of August, Major General Hank Taylor confirmed the U.S. strikes had ended at least 24 hours earlier, and the focus of the U.S. military at that point was maintaining security at the airport. According to the Cost of War Project, Mulana, at Brown University, the war killed 46,319 Afghan civilians in Afghanistan. However, the death toll is possibly higher due to unaccounted deaths by disease, loss of access to food, water infrastructure, and/or other indirect consequences of the war. A report titled Responsibility Physicians for Global Survival and International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War concluded that 106,000 to 170,000 civilians had been killed as a result of the fighting in Afghanistan at the hands of the parties to the conflict. Well, now we have now come to the end of our program. Inshallah, we pray that you and the listeners have a wonderful day today and a wonderful week. And we pray for the people of Gaza and Bangladesh that at least peace reigns around there, and that they can solve their problem. In fact, Sheikh Hasina, the Prime Minister of Bangladesh, had called for negotiations with the students, but I think the students are being adamant that they want to constitutionally have access to the various jobs in the civil service, which are quite lucrative in Bangladesh. To you and the listeners, once again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته and جزاكم الله خير الجزاء في الدارين for your valuable time and the valuable knowledge that you are imparting to our listeners. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bless you and protect you. And once again, respected listeners, we request du'as for our brother Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, who was hospitalized due to a heart attack. And it is for this reason that we aren't having our program with him. Inshallah, once he recovers, he will return.